So we arrived to the fourth Sunday of Advent. We've got all of our candles lit here on the wreath. We've made it all the way around. The Magi are getting closer to their destination as they journey across here. And so we are getting closer to the day of Christmas. And I'm sure all the young folks out there know exactly that from today it's 5 days. And so we're coming down the backstretch. And at the beginning of Advent, the first Sunday, we spoke of Christ's second coming, that he will be our just judge at the end of time. And so our whole life is like an Advent, a preparation for that moment. And then the second week, we started talking about making straight the paths, of getting truly into our hearts and clearing out those obstacles, those things that break down the action of grace in my life. And so we started to make straight the ways of the Lord, preparing our hearts. And then we talked about preparing a gift for Jesus, a spiritual gift that we're going to leave under the tree for him on Christmas Day. So we still have a few days to get that gift ready. And our hearts should really be prepared to receive these great graces that the Lord has planned for us on Christmas Day, and that we don't send Jesus to the stable again to be born. That our hearts are a beautiful, wonderful, welcoming, and open place for his graces to come, for him to be reborn with us and grow with us throughout the new year, this new relationship. And then today we start to look at the historical miracles, the very fact that God became man. And this is an awesome idea. St. John Paul II wrote a book back at the end of the 1990s called Crossing the Threshold of Hope. And what it was a collection of about 20 questions or so, maybe 15 questions that people always wanted to ask the Pope. And so a very famous reporter in Italy, Vittorio Messori, had been going around surveying people and getting these questions, and he formulated these questions. And the idea was that it would be like a television program, that he would come on, he would ask the Pope, and the Pope would speak. But because of the Pope's travels and all the things he had to do, they never could line up, because it would have taken maybe 2 or 3 days to do this. And so the Pope said, look, send me the questions and I will give you written responses. And then they had the idea, okay, we'll make it into a book. And so it's called Crossing the Threshold of Hope. And one of the questions there that most sticks out in my mind is, aren't all religions the same? Don't all religions bring us to the same God, the same goodness, and so on? And St. John Paul II, as the vicar of Christ and the leader of our church, said no. Because although all religions do have some aspect of the natural law and some goodness in them, they don't have the revelation of God. And so they are human religions. They are religions made up by human imagination. And when we look at the phenomenology of religion across the world, we see that all the other religions outside of the three major monotheistic ones have sort of the same pattern. They have a plethora of gods who usually represent forces in nature. Usually the chief one has something to do with the sun. And it's a commonality across the board, because we all are human beings. We all share a human nature, and we tend to see the things around us in somewhat of a similar way. Yet, in Christianity, we have something very different. We have, first of all, the revelation of one God, not a plethora of them. And then we have this God who loves us so much that in spite of our failings, sends his Son to become one of us. That is beyond human imagination. And that's why it doesn't exist in any of these other religions. Even the Muslims cannot wrap their arms around that. They have their one God who appears like our God the Father, but nothing more. They can't understand the idea of the Holy Spirit, they can't understand the Son, and they can't understand the Trinity. The same with the Jewish people. They have a big problem with the Trinity as well. And so we have this revelation, and then the whole three in one, three persons, one divine nature. It's a mystery. We can't even understand it. But it's what's revealed by God. And so we have this amazing revelation of God, and then we have His direct intervention into human history by the incarnation of His Son. And that's a historical fact. We have the four Gospels that give witness to it. We also have many pagan historians, contemporaries of that time, who write about the life and death of Jesus. And so it's a historical fact that God became man and dwelt among us. And so we have that historical fact that can't be denied. We have the fact that it is revelation from God because nobody ever made up such a thing anywhere else. And then we have the necessity of that fact, which is our need for salvation. The deepest longing in each one of us is to live forever. We all want to live forever. And so when we get down near the end of life and our health starts to fall apart, we'll spend anything to try to keep healthy and stay alive, because we want to live forever. And that cannot happen without God's intervention. And so by His passion and death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead, He has made our eternity possible. He has made perfect happiness for us possible. Because in addition to living forever, our second greatest desire is to be happy. But we can never experience perfect happiness in this life on this earth. But yet we desire it anyway. And it's doomed to frustration if we cannot reach heaven. And so the incarnation of the Son of God makes all of these deep longings that He placed in us by creation, by our nature, possible. Because God's not mean. He wouldn't create us with a longing that was impossible to satisfy. He wouldn't make us thirsty and not give us water. And so He realizes all of His promises. He makes all come to fruition by the fact that His Son becomes a man and dwells among us. And not only opens all of these possibilities for eternity, but also opens a possibility of greater happiness in this life. Because as St. Francis so beautifully said, it is in giving that we receive. It is in loving that we are loved. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And He teaches us these things: to love, to give, to pardon, and to make our lives happier, more harmonious, and more joyful in this life and in the life to come. And these are all the wonderful things that we celebrate in 5 days. But the greatest thing of all is that this God who became man is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to establish a great relationship with Him. He's waiting for us to become His great friend. And it doesn't matter if I've never had a good relationship with the Lord up until now, or if I had one and I lost it and now I'm not sure how I go about getting it back. It doesn't matter. He did this for us so that He could pardon us, so He could always have the welcome mat out for us.
And he wants to build a relationship with each one of us. He wants to bring each one of us to heaven, to perfect happiness, to eternal joy with him forever. And that's what the incarnation is all about. It's the beginning of that road. And so even if we have to begin this 25th all over again, it doesn't matter. The point is that we begin. And we allow the baby Jesus to grow in our hearts throughout the year, and his grace to flourish within us. And we build that relationship. Therein, we will find happiness. And nowhere else. Not in alcohol, drugs, trying to line up other pleasurable experiences one after the other. Nothing will bring us happiness, because our deepest longing is not to feel good in this world. Our deepest longing is to live forever in perfect happiness. And that can only be fulfilled through him. And so we celebrate the greatest gift of all, the Son of God who became man. And then we respond by giving back.